Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see so many of you. So I'm going to start by reading from Psalm 139, just a little bit of it. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. A God who created all things beautifully, fearfully, wonderfully. I was really privileged to be able to start at Genesis when we started our walk through the whole Bible. And this time I'm privileged to start in Ephesians because we're going to take a little bit of a deeper look in Ephesians. So I'm just going to read from chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. So just three verses right at the beginning. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Just a few verses, so we're going to stop and look at that. I'm really excited that we, although we've travelled through all of the books and we've looked at them and briefly done an overview of all of them, we've heard about the context that they were all written in, the time they were written and who's written them. Now we're just going to stop in one place and we're going to take a closer look at Paul's letter to the Ephesians and taking it in really small bites to see why it was written and how does that apply to us today for ourselves. And how does it apply to us as a church? So the book of Ephesians in the New Testament was written to a city called Ephesus. And Ephesus was one of five main cities in the Roman province. What makes it important is that it was a trading place. It was very commercial for businesses. It was an exchange of political views. It was a place of cultural exchange as well, where religious practices, lots of religions and thoughts made its way there, and this was a trading place. So it makes it perfect for Paul to travel there to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ to all of those that he met there. It met a sort of a junction of lots of thought. So when he writes to Ephesus, he's doing it from a prison cell. So the letter that we read, he's writing that, not with them, but he's writing to them. But as you go through and you read it, you know, you can hear in the way he's writing it that he knows them and he respects them and he cares deeply for them. And so when you investigate, you realise that he's actually been there twice before. And so when we look through Acts, his first visit was quite brief, and this is Acts 18. It said, they arrived at Ephesus where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, I will come back if it is God's will. And then he set sail from Ephesus. So he went, and they were very receptive to hearing what he had to say. And then he leaves again. But you can tell by the way that they are with him that they don't really want him to leave. But what Paul is showing is he is leading a life that is really happy to be led by the Spirit, happy to be led by God's will. And then in Acts 19, he visits again. And it's a long version, so I'm not going to read all of it. But when he arrives there, he challenges them on what they believe baptism to be. And they tell him that they're being baptized as John the Baptist had baptized in a baptism of repentance. And he puts them right and he says, no, you're a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to baptize them there. But he causes a bit of a riot because there was a goddess that was worshipped there. There was a temple there. And people were making a lot of money, as they do, out of selling religious idols. People were making a business out of this worship that was going on. So when Paul turns up and says, there is only one God, and it is this God, and all the other things that you're doing, your worshipping of your idols is wrong, of course, people's livelihood were at stake, and he caused a riot, and people wanted him to leave, possibly due to the fact that they were fearful of what they would lose for themselves. So then Paul does leave, but he sends for the elders of Ephesus to come and talk to him, who clearly regard Paul highly, because you can hear a sense of disappointment in his departure. So I'm going to read now from Acts 19. It says, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from the house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given to me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all your flocks of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come among you and not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw you away. So be on guard. Remember that for the 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the words of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those that were sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and my own companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words that the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then the ship that he was on left. That was quite long, but I think it's really helpful to know all of that as you step into the book of Ephesians to see how Paul has spent 3 years there with them. And you can tell that he clearly loves them and respects them. But what I want to think about is right at the beginning of this letter that he's writing to his friends is a wholehearted greeting that's done in love. As he speaks to them, he's praying for them. He loves them and he wants to unite them to one another and to be a church together. And so to me, that first greeting that I read, it does sound more like a prayer. He's saying to them, may they be filled with grace and may they have that peace. And he's writing as an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he's praying wholeheartedly for them to know that grace and peace in their lives. The grace that's not deserved or bought, a grace that can't be earned by good deeds or words, a grace that is offered freely. And in the same way, that grace that is offered to you, through whatever what you have done, whatever has been calculated, whatever position you have found yourself in, whatever you have taken, whatever you have thought, however much you don't think you deserve it, that grace is there for you. And I think it's harder to accept it. Paul also offers them that they receive the peace, that shalom, a peace that is not the absence of war or fighting. It's not the absence of quarrelling or words, but it's a deep sense of knowing God and knowing that all is well, that you are held in God's love completely and wholly because you are beautifully and fearfully and wonderfully made. I think the peace for me is a bit like holding your breath or making yourself really, really tense, holding on to it, and then just letting go. And you just feel that sense of release. Perhaps a bit like flying on a plane. You fly on a plane and the pilot is flying, but when I'm sitting in the back, I feel like I'm flying because I'm frightened and I'm holding on. But there's nothing that I can do. And just relax and let someone else fly the plane. And I think it's that sense of knowing that, and trusting that all is well. So when Paul is writing to the Ephesians, he's not writing to perfect people. He's writing to people who are struggling to find a way to walk in the way of Jesus Christ. And he's offering them this peace, that in Jesus Christ, all is well. These are people who are struggling just like us, that they have many views as they come together with church. They have many thoughts that might not be the same. And he's trying to unite them in this same love. We aren't perfect. And we too were offered this greeting at the beginning of the letter. Hear that greeting of grace and hear that greeting of peace for you. At the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, he sends out the 12. He sends them out with the good news. And as he sends them, he says, as you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest upon it. So perhaps as we go out and we meet people and we share that same prayer with them to receive that grace and that peace, and let that feeling of all is well bubble up within us, that excitement, because this is good news. This is amazing news that we have to offer. Go out from here and offer that peace and grace, knowing that Jesus has sent you. The final part of this, probably what we'll come on to next week, is it says, praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with his every spiritual blessing in Christ. And when I read that, I found it really hard to understand what is that actually saying. Because God has blessed us since the beginning of time. He blesses us each, every day. Because of Jesus, we can see that. Jesus was born as the incarnation in the world, and because of him, everything is illuminated. Every blessing can be seen. And I think it's like us here on a Thursday, that each one of you has been beautifully and wonderfully made. And each one of you has gifts. I was watching the television this morning with my son, who just suddenly announced to me that there are 7 billion people in the world, and each one of them is normal in their own way. Each one of them is special. each one of them has gifts that are given by God. And when we glance around the room, I'm sure that we can see that in each other. Each one of us has these gifts that are given. It might be music, or it might be... We all know, we look around, we're blessed by those. And it's a bit like, to me, looking at a box of gems. You're like a box of beautiful gems. Each one of you is like a diamond or a ruby or a sapphire, and beautiful in your own right. But then gathered together as a box of gems, and they just glisten, and they are beautiful. And I just wonder that perhaps that's what this is trying to say, that in the light of Jesus, when we know that Jesus came into the world to be our Saviour and his light shines upon us, we can shine and sparkle for him. We can see the blessings that he pours out on us each day. And as that light shines, we can see all the different facets. We can see that illuminated out into our world. As we start this letter and we consider what it means to be united together in God and united together as a church, just take a moment and think and give thanks for all of the blessings that we have around us each day. All the things that are made new in Christ. Then when we meet someone this week and we greet them knowing this, we can be excited and sparkle. We can shine because Jesus is shining upon us, and greet them with a prayer that finds God's loving grace and peace, despite how things might look, despite how they might feel. In Jesus Christ, there is peace and grace, and that we know that all is well. All is well. Amen.